This is the fourth Sunday. And as we travel on this road of Easter, going toward Easter, Resurrection Sunday, as we travel on this road with Jesus, as we are recognizing this time as we lead up to his crucifixion and his resurrection, which is what, 2-3 weeks maybe until that time, something close, the end of the month, 3 weeks, 3 weeks. And we want everybody here for, if you can come on that day for that service, that day means everything. Everything. What a time to celebrate. And yeah, there's going to be great food at your house after and family and friends, but what a way to start that day. I want to wake up at 6 and come when, like, he had truly risen and he was awake, like, was it a morning like this? What a wonderful time. Today we're going to focus on how Jesus is looking, loving, giving, and saving. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak. Lord, we know there's snow outside, but God, we know that your Holy Spirit reigns here and everywhere. We thank you, God, for getting us here safely. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you're going to bring today, and help us to see that our Savior has this kind of love for us, and you, Father God, have this love for us, that there is nothing that will keep you from us. Nothing. And we don't have to go through anybody else. You are directly with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in John 3, and earlier in John 3, we studied this in Bible study. For those who've been here, we talked about Nicodemus, and we got to see that chosen. It was so dark in that chosen because it was nighttime. And I think they did that purposely. It's like, I can't see who's talking because it was just so dark. But there's a reason behind that, showing that darkness of Nicodemus not wanting to be seen, right? Not wanting to be seen, in the words of his folks, comforting with someone who wasn't right to be with. So he came in the darkness of night to talk to Jesus. And this was earlier in the chapter. He couldn't understand what following Jesus meant, and that it meant he had to be born from above. He had to be made new, made new. And it presented him a challenge, as it presents us, to lay aside his understanding of how the world works. That's a challenge for us, isn't it? To lay aside an understanding of how the world works and to acknowledge the things that were to his credit and not to his credit, the things that had nothing to do with him. All of his goodness meant nothing in the eyes of Jesus. All of the good things he did, just like us. What they say, it's like filthy rags. Ugh. It means nothing. Jesus decides to share with Nicodemus an event from the scriptures that would help him see what he's talking about. And that's where we are in John 3, verse 14. I'm going to do 14 and 15. And as I go along, I'm going to do a little stop and pausing. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So as we look back on what happened with Moses, if you looked in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, we don't have that. The people of Israel were complaining to God, Moses and God, because, you know, if I can't see God, I'm going to blame you, that you brought us out here to die. You know, it's hard work being a leader, isn't it? This is your fault. You brought us out here, and God brought us out here to die. So what did the Lord do? The Lord said, okay, y'all not happy. I'm going to send these snakes in. I'm going to send snakes in. And if you're bitten by the snake, of course, you will die. Okay? They were dying. People were dying right and left. And there had to be a lot of snakes, sure enough. It was a plague of snakes, right, that God sent. He gave them a means of deliverance because they did start to cry out. Because isn't that always the way we are? When the snakes come, when the plague comes into our life, then we remember, what was I thinking? Lord, please save me, forgive me. And he sent them away to live. And so what he did is he told Moses to form this bronze snake. And you think about it, that snake had to be pretty big to be seen by all of those people. And if they looked at the snake, they would live. Look at the snake and you would live. You know, I thought about the medical emblem, that snake, right? And we all thought, no, maybe you didn't think this. I said, what is behind that? And that really is talking about that snake has to do more with a Greek mythology or Greek god, a Greek god who is the god of healing. And so, but if you trace it back, even that Greek god goes back to this and Moses. It goes back to this because what do you call it? The family of Dan. It's Dan, the group of people. Danites, the Danites. They went to Greece and they remembered the symbol, right? Because what had happened was, is that people who looked to it, yes, they got healed and they realized they had to look at it to be healed. All of a sudden, they started to worship that symbol because that symbol was healing. They forgot it had more to do with what God told them, right? Now you think about that, and I started to think about things that we look at as the symbol and we start to worship the symbol. I don't be offended by what I say. Sometimes we take the cross and we forget who was on the cross, right? Because lots of people were crucified. But Jesus was crucified on a cross. So a lot of times we take the cross and people just wear it as kind of an ornament, right? As I wear this. But what about who hung on the cross? That has to be the most important. I see you, Sam. I see you, Sam. Sam's showing his cross. I see you, Sam. All right. So the cross. I also think of this, the American flag. We have made that an emblem. Now, yeah, we honor what it stands for, but the flag itself, it stands for something, just like the cross stands for something. So we honor what the flag stands for. It stands for the United States of America. It stands for all of those people who fought for it. But then there are people who worship the flag more than they worship more than they step into the reason why it is important. You see what I'm saying? We could probably think of other things too, where people will take the emblem and make that more important than the meaning behind it. This is what happened. Later, God had them destroy that. I mean, in the Old Testament, destroy it because they were making a god of the snake. They were making a god of the snake. So there's your history lesson for today. If anyone trusted God and looked to the bronze snake, then they would be healed. And so Jesus was telling Nicodemus that similarly, the Son of Man would also be lifted up on the cross so that everyone believes in him will have eternal life. So no longer is it a snake, no longer is it a thing. It is the person of Jesus who we are to look to. Trusting Christ and his substitutionary. Get that word, write it down fast. Atonement is God's provision for addressing his righteous judgment on sin. We trust Jesus instead. It is not the cross, it is who hung on the cross. Does that make sense to everybody? So then we come to 16, which is the most known, probably, scripture, except for. Probably Jesus wept, but nobody could find it. But everybody can say John 3:16. John 3:16, because the wrestler used to do that. He wears it on his shirt, and then there were kids wearing it on his shirt. I said, "Do you know what that means?" No. But the wrestler wears it. For God so loved the world that he gave his. Let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now we were talking about looking in that first section. Now we're talking about the loving and the giving of the Father and the Son, the loving and the giving. So he would die in our place, bearing our sins. He is the only one who can take away our sins. I've said before, we don't like to talk about sin. We don't like to think that we have it. It's not something we focus on because we know we're forgiven. But we also know that we ask for that forgiveness. We repent. We turn, and where do we look? To Jesus. For the love and the giving that he's going to give. We got to pay attention and have that solid rock of the foundation of knowing all that. Turning to him. People think, you know, it's just saying a few words and you're done. No, it's living a life. Living a life where he is the most important. Where we believe that truth. There is no bronze snake, no symbol. There is just Jesus. When we trust in Jesus alone as our personal Savior, divine judgment is removed and eternal life is freely given. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He gave. So loved the world that he gave. He loved and he gave. Let's go on to 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe, wait a minute. But whoever does not believe is condemned. Already, thank you. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Just like those folks who said, I'm not going to look at, do you think anybody in that group said, I'm not going to look at that snake? I'm just going to be so disobedient. I'm going to turn, basically right now, because there's not enough snakes in people's lives or they don't know where to look, that they're going, turning their backs, closing their eyes. I don't want nothing to do with that God. Okay. The beauty of God is what I tell people all the time. You have a choice. You have a choice. And what's interesting is that you can choose life or you can choose death. I just do like this. And as I told my cousins in our big philosophical discussion that we had on our way to Chicago, we have a choice. And then so he says, and in the end, we're going to find out. I said, that's right. And I'm okay with that. But you know what he said to me? He says, I'll just be pleasantly surprised because he's not living God. He says, you'll be sorely disappointed if you're wrong. I said, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried. He says, I'm going to be surprised at the gift. I said, yeah, but don't wait till then to get it, brother, cousin. So good. Such a good conversation. Let's go to 19. Wait, let me say this. God sent his son to bring salvation, not condemnation. The motivation is love of our triangle, the foundation. The motivation is love. Yeah. Yeah, you love, I hope. Amen. Condemnation only comes to those who do not believe in the one and only Son. Salvation from sin and judgment is free for everybody to take. Doesn't cost them a thing, except it is a little costly, though, isn't it? It is, because you have to give up this flesh, this life of crazy disobedience. And for a lot of people, that's costly. It's very comfortable to live in the flesh till it's not, till your body breaks down, till you realize, I really don't control anything. I'm the master of my own destiny. I am the captain of my fate. Yeah, to an extent. But in the end, it's like the doctor tells you, if you take this, you will be completely cured. And what do you do? I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I'm not taking it. Then we suffer. When you know the cure and you don't take the cure, sorry. And the cure is in the form of Jesus. Let's go to 19 through 21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Of course, I don't want to give that up. I'm living my life in evilness. Let's keep going. For everyone who does wicked thing hates the light and does not come to the light lest their works should be exposed. I need to be under the cover of darkness because I don't want people to know it's me. And I don't want them to know what I'm doing. Let's go on. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. There are those who are in the dark and love the dark. I say to myself, are you a night person or a morning person? I used to say I'm not a morning person, but now I read this. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. In that part, I like the light, but I like to sleep a lot. So I like that dark for that. The dark conceals the light, but what is done in the dark will come to the light when Jesus shines a light on it. We may get away with it for a while. But what is done in the dark will come to the light. Those who receive the truth and live their lives accordingly come to the light and show their good works that have been accomplished, it says, by God. Here's the thing. Unbelievers are responsible for their own evil deeds, but believers know that God gets the glory for the good ones. When it's a bad deed, don't put it on God. When it's a good deed, give glory to God. To God be the glory. Everything that is good in us is of him. We may make a mistake, and we may try to take the glory ourselves. Did you see what I did? And then, you know, I don't know about you. You know, you get embarrassed when people compliment you, and you try to stay kind of humble, and you kind of go, thanks. Thanks. That's why every time when you say, to God be the glory, you know, I used to look at the people who got up and the rappers who curse and do all that kind of stuff, and then they get up, giving honor to God, who is the author and finisher. I think they may know that. They just don't know what all it entails. Like that walk that shows his light. So I stopped talking about them because when they get up and say it now, I'm like, yeah, you kind of get it. Maybe you're just in this space in your life that's as far as it goes. But to God be the glory. To God be the honor for every good work. Our goodness has nothing to do with it. The righteousness of us is just unclean. We have no rightness without Jesus. We're called simply to come into the light, to come into the truth. We are called to respond to God's non-judgment of us. What is our response? What is our response? This is what it means to be converted. No longer do we fear the light. Instead, we acknowledge all that we are and all that we've done and all that we have known and place it all before the crucified and risen Christ. Here you go, God. We let his truth, his light, shine upon our entire person. We've been called to leave behind those things that so want to keep us in the dark. We're called to leave all that behind. Instead, we're called to embrace the truth of Jesus. Embrace the truth. That's what we're doing on this walk along the way to Easter, resurrection. That's what we're doing. We're embracing this truth about who God is. And we walk in the light that he's given us. and we stand before him not guilty. Wow. Not guilty. We've been freely pardoned and we are freely loved. I think I told you how someone I knew, who knew they were facing their last time, said they have written down every sin that they've ever done. I told them you couldn't get them all, but they've written down every sin and they held it in a piece of paper. And they said, And they said, what should I do with that paper? And I said, burn it. You've been holding on to something you don't have to hold on to. Let that go. And what a lesson for all of us. Let's not be caught on our last breath talking about who we used to be. Let's be speaking about who we are. And that, Lord, the next time I open my eyes, I'm seeing you. Because I stand freely in freedom and forgiveness. So I wanted to close, of course, by reading the whole thing together that Jesus said to Nicodemus. And of course, I wanted to read it in the message. Let's go. No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from the presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe. Did you see that? Because they weren't believing. They needed something to see and believe. So he said, let me give you this. Here, you've got something to see and believe. It is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. Anybody looking for real life? This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it is. Don't we just limit God that way? So far beyond that. He came to help and to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. Without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. You think about Adam and Eve. I'm naked. That's what light does to us, it exposes us. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. I'm not going to be able to stand it if you see me for who I really am. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work it is. Looking, loving, giving, and saving. That is the God we celebrate, Jesus. Amen. Amen.